all I got. That's it. But it was good. Well, happy Jesus Lives Day. That's every day. Yeah, every day. Did anybody feel like they needed some sugar this evening that you didn't get? Yeah, I've got a couple left over from the... Yeah. And as a public service announcement, that's not an oatmeal cookie on the front there. Some people didn't know what that symbol supposed to be. That's the tomb with the stone rolled away. Yeah, that's supposed to be. That's what I see. It's like the Rorschach test with the ink splot, maybe. I don't. Maybe it's just, you know. Let me pray and get my focus in the right place here before we, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, God, for the opportunity again to gather in Jesus' wonderful name, God, to worship you, to share your word tonight. Lord, we know that none of this would have any significance. It wouldn't even be possible unless Jesus had died on the cross for us and rose again on the third day in victory, God. And we know, Lord, that because Jesus lives, that we worship a living Savior. God, thank you so much that we can come together and make much of you because you are worthy, Lord. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this evening, we're looking at the best news ever and celebrating the resurrection of our unstoppable God. So I've titled the message this evening, Unstoppable God. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the badge of authority for Christianity. Everything stands or falls on the resurrection. At Calvary, Jesus suffered, and he died for our sins. But when he arose from the grave, he proved that he is exactly who he said that he is. It validated everything he said about himself. It validated everything that he had done. But it didn't happen without resistance. There was opposition. His enemies remembered that Jesus had said that he would come back. He had told people, on the third day, I will rise again. And it's ironic that his enemies actually remembered that before he rose. And yet his disciples seem to have forgotten in their grief until afterwards. But his enemies wanted to do everything they could do to prevent it. So they sealed the tomb. So now we're going to look at Matthew 27, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew 27. We're going to start in verse 62. Matthew 27, 62. We have slides also. The next day on the Sabbath, the leading priests and Pharisees went to see Pilate. They told him, "Sir, we remember what that deceiver once said while he was still alive. After 3 days I will rise from the dead. So we request that you seal the tomb until the third day. This will prevent his disciples from coming and stealing his body and telling everyone he was raised from the dead. If that happens, we'll be worse off than we were at the first." Pilate replied, "Take guards and secure it as best you can." So they sealed the tomb and posted guards to protect it. The enemies of Jesus were dreading the potential resurrection. They were dreading the possibility that it would even look like Jesus arose. So they were going to try to do whatever they could do to prevent this, everything in their ability. In Matthew's account, we see mere human beings struggling against God, struggling against who Jesus is, attempting to prevent Jesus' resurrection, trying to stop an unstoppable God. And I think about that. It would have been easier if they would have just said, "You know what? Let's get up tomorrow and let's make the ocean not wet anymore. You know, let's Let's close out the day by just not letting the moon rise. Let's not let the sun be hot tomorrow. That would have been more doable than keeping Jesus from rising again. These religious leaders willfully chose to believe that Jesus was a deceiver, despite years of overwhelming evidence. They had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. He had brought them truth and grace in the very presence of God, and yet they chose to believe that he wasn't who he said he was. And they chose to believe, which is kind of crazy, but that his disciples were somehow so cunning that they were going to pull off some sort of hoax. That there was going to be some kind of collusion going on between the apostles and Jesus that was going to somehow make it appear that a resurrection had taken place. So these guys took it upon themselves to try to prevent an event that would make people, the public, think Jesus was raised from the dead. These chief priests and these Pharisees, they'd come to Pilate with a lot of jealousy and hatred and ignorance, trying to destroy Jesus. And now that he'd been killed, they wanted to see to it that that defeat stayed a defeat, that there was no way he was going to get a victory out of this. So they go to Pilate, they go to the Roman governor, they know they can manipulate him. Pilate had seen enough of Jesus and heard enough about Jesus that he didn't want any rumors going around that Jesus had somehow come back. So he goes along with the efforts to secure the tomb. And he gives the chief priest and the Pharisees what they want. He says, go, make it as secure as you can. We'll seal it, we'll send soldiers. And issued probably the most ineffective statement of opposition ever in history. Yeah, go stop God from doing what he wants to do. He said, make the tomb as secure as you know how. How do you make a tomb secure against all-powerful God? What absolute futility. Men seeking to secure a tomb to prevent God from coming out. And they knew what Jesus had said. Jesus told them, I'm coming out of here. You're going to put me on that cross, but I'm coming back. So the Roman soldiers, they were disciplined. They did what they were ordered to do. They had carried out Pilate's command, and they go to the gravesite to make sure that a rock is sufficiently placed in front of that tomb at the entrance there, that it's sealed. By sealing that, that means that if anybody breaks that seal, they have broken Roman law. They're subject to death for breaking that seal. And so they secure this tomb. They put the seal on it, and then they have a detachment of soldiers standing guard. But Jesus could not be stopped. Matthew 28, verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a very great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dread faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I've told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. I can't even imagine. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them. and greeted them, and they ran to him, and they grasped his feet, and they worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Praise God. So the soldiers' attempts to stop Jesus from coming out didn't succeed, obviously. So they attempt to deny the resurrection. The Son of God arose from that tomb eternally victorious over death. Jesus' prophecy regarding his death and his burial and his resurrection had been fulfilled. The soldiers appointed to guard that tomb, they go to the chief priest and they reported what happened and end up testifying to the resurrection, to what had occurred there. And we see that the attempts of the chief priest and the Pharisees to stop Jesus' resurrection had failed. So now they have a new scheme, since the first scheme didn't work out. They have a new scheme, and the new scheme is that they must have some kind of cover-up of the truth here. To oppose God, they bribe these guards. They give them money to try to stop the truth from getting out. So these religious leaders who claim to know God and to serve God are using their real God, which is money, which has no power at all, to try to stop Almighty God. Trying to stop the redemptive plan of Almighty God, all-powerful, unstoppable God. And yet he is risen. You know, you and I read that story, and I cringe thinking about these guys, because I'm thinking, man, if they didn't repent, this doesn't go well for them. You know, we see them trying to prevent the resurrection and then denying the resurrection, and we rejoice in the victory that Jesus won. And yet, you know, at the same time, there's a lot of people opposing the resurrection today. You know, I praise God for turning on the light bulb in my head at some point to where I understood the truth of the gospel. Because it is insanity to try to pretend that Jesus did not rise from the dead. That it didn't occur. And the powers of darkness that could not stop Jesus from coming out of that grave, and that couldn't come up with a clever enough scheme to deny it, they tried to obscure the resurrection today. You know, I know most of us here, our hearts and our minds are thinking about Jesus bursting forth from that grave and the significance and just the wonder and the beauty of that, and that we're saved. But most of the people in our culture, when they're thinking about Easter today, and tomorrow, this weekend, they're thinking about bunnies, and they're thinking about eggs, and they're thinking about cute outfits. And they're thinking about candy. They're thinking about chickens. They're thinking about a lot of nice things that there's nothing wrong with. It's not a denial of the resurrection, but it is a diversion. It's a diversion. And it can take away from the main thing. But we believe. We believe, and we know, and we celebrate the real purpose beyond the eggs and the bunnies and the cute outfits. The real purpose of Easter. The real purpose of the resurrection. First of all, the authority of Christ is part of the real purpose. The main purpose of the resurrection is to reveal the person of Jesus Christ. To reveal his authority. Matthew 28:18 says, "All authority," Jesus said, "in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. In the universe, in all time and space and matter and beyond it all authority that exists has been given to Jesus. All authority has been given to me. He conquered sin and death. He conquered all of the powers of hell. He defeated all opposition. And his resurrection authenticated everything he said about who he is and established once and for all his authority over everything. over everything, that he has all authority. The resurrection also established the way of salvation for us, the redemption of humanity, that when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, when we place our trust in him and nothing else, what he did through the cross, through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, and we don't try to earn our way to heaven, we don't look to our good works, or we don't look to what a nice person I am, and we trust in nothing else other than Christ, we are saved. We go from being rebels against God who are justly condemned to being those who are victors over sin and death with Jesus Christ. And another purpose of the resurrection is not just, of course, it determines our salvation, our redemption of those who are redeemed, but it really is the great dividing mark for all of history. It determines the destiny of all human beings. It determines the destiny not only of those who are being saved, but those who rejected it and are not. It determines the destiny of all people, including everybody here tonight. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And he doesn't mean everybody's going to be saved, but he means that everybody who is associated with Jesus Christ through faith is saved. That's the only way to salvation. But all who trust in him, every single individual who puts their faith in Jesus, in the living, resurrected Christ, is given new life. All the old things are passed away. Who you were and all the mistakes you made don't matter anymore, because you are a new person in Christ Jesus. And all the evil and all the wrong and all the shame and all the guilt, that's part of the old thing that's past. All things, God tells us, all things become new. But there may be some of us here tonight who would really like to keep Jesus in the tomb. I don't want to assume just because your butt's sitting in a pew, it means you're saved. There was plenty of times my butt sat in a pew when I was younger that I wasn't. So I'm just saying. You know, there's some of us who want to keep Jesus at a distance. You know, maybe you've just thought, I've got my whole life ahead of me. Or maybe you've thought, I've had hurtful things happen in my life and I'm angry at God and I feel like he's hurt me. I feel like his people have hurt me and I just want him to stay in the grave. There are people who feel that way. And so in your heart, you're resistant to who he is, and you're resistant to what it means to have a personal meeting with the risen Savior, and you just prefer that he stayed in the tomb. And I want to say to you, if that's you tonight, that whatever hurt or anger you have, that stone needs to be rolled away. Because it's not keeping him in the tomb, it's keeping you in the tomb. There's nothing you're going to do that's going to keep him dead. But you can make decisions that keep you dead. You know, some of us might be here tonight and we might have some pride that's keeping God at arm's length. And we just think, you know what? I'm a pretty good person. I've done so many nice things and it outweighs all the bad things that I've done in my life. It's not going to help you when you stand before the Lord. You know, maybe you think, well, when I go before him, I'll manage. It'll turn out. I've heard this from a lot of people. You know, you go out and talk to people out on the street about Jesus. I hear that more often than I hear anything. I'm a good person. I'll be okay. On your own terms, you are not going to be okay. When you go before a holy, unstoppable, righteous God, you better come with faith in Jesus Christ. So if that's you tonight, and you've got some pride, and that pride is the stone in front of the tomb, you need to roll that stone of pride away. Because that's not keeping him in the tomb. That keeps you in the tomb. That keeps you dead. If you're here tonight and you think, well, you know what, I've been a church member for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I've led Bible studies. I mean, I've done all this great religious stuff. That doesn't save you. You know, this flu season, I was listening to the radio on the way here earlier today, and on the radio they said, this is the worst flu season we've had in 10 years, because there was a couple different kinds of flu. And they said, the good news is it's winding down, it's getting better. So a lot of you probably got flu vaccines. I'm not going to tell you whether I did or not. But you know what an inoculation does? It gives you just a little bit of it, so you don't get the real thing, right? Just a small dose. There's a lot of us who've had an inoculation against a relationship with Jesus Christ that have had just enough of Him, that have had just enough religion and just enough church life. And we just think, you know what? I understand all about Jesus. I've heard all about Him for years. I've gone through all the rituals you're supposed to do. I know all those stories about all the Bible heroes. But you've not let Him deal with what's in here. You've not gotten honest with Him about your need for Him. And if that's keeping you from personally letting Him confront your sin, I just want to tell you tonight that that stone of religion needs to be moved. That stone of religion will keep you dead. You know, maybe for you tonight it's indifference. You just think, you know, I know God's good and all that, but I've got other things going on in my life, and sometime later down the road I'll make a decision. Unfortunately, I've heard that one in the last couple weeks. Not from anybody here, but maybe that's you. Maybe you just thought, you know, I'm just putting that off. When Jesus died on the cross, His death was a sacrifice for sinners. Any other sinners here? Anybody else need a Savior? So that when we trust in Him, we don't have to experience eternal death. We can experience eternal life. The Bible makes it very clear, it is only those who trust in Jesus Christ, it is only those who embrace the sacrifice that He has made. As God's Word says, as many as received Him, He gives the power to become the sons of God. You have to receive Him by faith. You have to put your trust in Him. Those who believe in His name, that's the only way to participate in His resurrection for you. Yeah. I love God. Which works out because I'm a pastor. I should. I love God. I love God. And I love to talk about the love of God. And I know He loves me more than I can imagine. I know He loves you more than you can imagine. And I love to talk about the love of God. But you know what? If we just talk about that and we get a bunch of warm fuzzies and we never talk about the fact that, man, you've got to put your trust in Him to deal with your sin. You got to be honest with Him about your sin. You got to say, Lord, I'm willing to forsake that and run to You. And that's a hard thing. That doesn't feel as good as talking about all the warm, cuddly fuzzies of our friend, Jesus. But we got to go there. We have to go there. The Bible says that there is a resurrection to eternal life and there is a resurrection to eternal death. The dividing line for that is what you personally do with Jesus Christ. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. If you have not personally rolled that stone away in front of your heart, you need to do that tonight. The fact that it's a historical fact that the stone was rolled away, He was already out there, out of there. That was to let people in to see that He had already risen. That's a historical fact, but knowing that fact is not going to save you. The stone in front of your heart needs to move. For Him to come in, for Him to take over. And if that's you tonight, you need to say, Lord, I need You to be my Savior. Jesus, I need You to be mine. And I receive You. Worship team, if you'd like to come back up. We'll conclude here in a moment, and Alex, if you want to go, get your sidekick. Okay, yeah. You know, Today is a perfect day for you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have passed from death to life, if you've not done that. I know sometimes I get caught up in my own life and my own agendas. There are times that I just get so focused on the things, my own dreams and my own loves and my own struggles and my own things. But I want you to understand something about the need to deal with Christ. See, kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Nations rise and nations fall. Empires come and empires go. I hate to tell you, folks, America's not going to be here forever. Every empire falls eventually. But Christ lives forever. Centuries and generations come and go, but Christ lives. Skeptics argue and oppose and then die. Christ remains. Christ still lives. There's coming a day when the stars that we see in the sky, when the new heavens and new earth are made, all the old ones are going. Even the stars are going to pass away. But Jesus lives. He is everlasting, and He is unstoppable. And it is only because He lives that we can have eternal life. In just a moment, the worship team is going to lead us in a song called All Because of Jesus. And I want to invite you to just, from your heart to God's heart, don't worry about who's next to you or whether you can sing on key or not. I can't. Just from your heart to God's heart, I just want to invite you to express your joy, express your thankfulness that He is not in that tomb, that He is a living Savior, and just celebrate that He has risen. And what awesome news that is for you today.